When I was 5 years old, my father gave me my first bow and arrow. It was not the kind of bow and arrow that had, like, suction cups on the end. It was a real bow and arrow. He gave me a target. We had a long backyard, and so he gave me a target and a bow and arrow. He said, "Don't leave the yard. Have a good time." And so I started shooting a bow and arrow when I was, like, five. And I kept shooting a bow and arrow until I was about 14 when I got my first really fancy, restrung, like, expensive bow 3 days after somebody had used a bow to shoot someone on the highway. At which point my mother said, "Never again," and I have not used a bow since. But that ended my bow and arrow days. But my whole growing up life, there was not a lot you could do. My parents' backyard was really, really narrow, but it was long, and so there wasn't a lot of fun things you could do, and virtually not one other child lived in my neighborhood, so I didn't have a lot of kids to play with, so I spent a lot of time shooting a bow and arrow. And I learned one thing about shooting a bow and arrow, and that is it matters where you aim. There's a big difference between a window and a target. There's a big difference between the tree and the target. As a matter of fact, I learned this the hard way, because one of the places you could not shoot was over the yard, the fence in the yard, because over the fence in the yard, there was just a cliff, and it went straight down for like 30 feet. So whenever I accidentally lost an arrow, it became a giant project to try to get the arrow back and climb back up the cliff with the arrow like in my teeth trying to get up. All of this to say, I learned that you had to focus and have an aim if you were going to shoot an arrow. And this is a helpful lesson, of course, in life, and that's what we're going to be talking about really over the next couple of months in lots of different little ways, is the idea that choices matter and that where you aim your life is incredibly important. You have the power in this present moment to aim your life. And where you end up in the future will be a direct result of where you aim your life today. That's what we're going to talk about. You can open your Bibles to Joshua 24, Joshua chapter 24. Now, this first series we're going to do of the year is going to set the stage for everything else that we do. It's going to be 4 weeks, and we're really just going to talk about how to make those choices. How do we make those choices? We're going to set the pattern for all the future weeks that we have together. And so we're going to call this series Taking Aim. Just like my bow and arrow moments as a child when it mattered if you took aim or not. And there were times as a kid that I decided to shoot my bow and arrow without taking aim, which is a horrible plan. Those are the moments that end with the window or over the cliff. But it matters that you take aim. And so we're going to talk a lot over these 4 weeks about what it means to take aim with your life. And then, throughout the rest of the year, we're going to carry that through by taking aim in specific areas of our lives. So that's where we're going tonight. The very first thing I want to talk about is the power of choice. The power of choice. There's three things I want to talk about choices tonight. Because the thing that I believe, as I pray for you, and I pray for you all the time, and as we've been getting ready for this new year, I've prayed for you more than ever. As I pray for you, I am convinced that God has empowered you to make the choices that you need to make in your life. And so I want to talk tonight about three basic principles of choice, three powers that we have to make right choices. So here we go. And as we go, I'm going to talk about some of the enemies of choices. There are enemies that loom anytime you have the opportunity to make a choice, aren't there? And so the first thing I want to talk about is the power of present choices. The power of present choices. I want to encourage you, whenever you're trying to make a decision, choose now. In other words, don't put off the decision. Because you all know what happens when you put the decision off, right? You just get good at putting off decisions, which means then when the next time comes up that you want to make that decision, you're already skilled in the art of putting off the decision, so you do that again. And now you've done it twice, and so the next time it comes up, you put it off again. We all know this is called procrastination. Procrastination is a huge enemy of making choices. Which brings me to Joshua 24, which is where you have opened your Bibles. Joshua 24. In Joshua 24, starting in verse 14, Joshua, the hero of the book, who is me, by the way, I was alive back then, this is all about me. Joshua, the hero of the book, has led God's people in a whole tremendous era of history where they have been given an entire land that they are going to fill and colonize. It's going to be great. And this is Joshua's last speech as he's getting ready to die to the people that he has led. He used to be the number two guy for like 40 years, and then he was the number one guy for like another 40 years. And so he has been leading this group of men and women for decades, and this is his final word to them. And here's what he says, Joshua 24, 14. He says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Power of choice. The thing that I think is fascinating here is that he says, choose today who you will serve. Choose today. What you do today determines what will happen in the future. Does that make sense? Choose today. So you don't say, well, you know what, I'll make that decision later. You don't say, well, you know what, I need to think about it. Some of the most important decisions in your life, you do not need to think about. You just need to choose now before you lose your nerve. You need to choose now when you have the motivation. You need to choose now because it's not going to be easier to choose later. I remember talking to somebody early on in my time here at the church. We had just moved into this building, and we sat down, and she was dealing with a pretty significant addiction issue, and she was in a habit. She was in a lifestyle that encouraged her addiction. And we were talking about it, and she said, you know, I really want to get out of this. And I said, okay, like, let's talk about that. And we talked about programs she could get into. We talked about ways that she could kind of break all the different systems in her life that were forcing her into this addictive habit. And I'll be honest, the decisions she was going to have to make to get out were hard decisions. They weren't easy. And they weren't minor on any level. And I remember the moment she said, you know what, I'm going to think about it. Give me a couple of weeks, and I'm going to think about it. Maybe next month I'll be ready. I'm just not quite ready yet. And of course, next month never came. It just, as far as I know, I haven't seen her in years now. As far as I know, the last time I was in touch with her, she was still actively completely enslaved to her addiction. Because next month never comes. Next week never comes. Sometimes tomorrow never comes. Now is the moment you make a decision. Now is the moment. And those choices have to be honest choices. I appreciate the fact that here is this leader of God's people, and he says, hey guys, look, you've got three choices. You can serve the gods your ancestors used to serve, but now we're in a new land, and the people who used to live here, they serve gods themselves too. And so if you want, you can choose to serve the people your parents and their parents and their parents before them all served. You can do that. Or you can serve the gods of the people around you, or you can serve the God who got you out of slavery years ago. This is an honest, authentic choice. And I think that when we're making choices now, we have to admit the fact that we get to choose. You have right now in your hand whatever the issue is that's happening in your life, whatever is going on, you have the power to choose right now. Which means you have the power to choose wrongly right now. Isn't it important to admit that? You know, people say all the time, well, it's going to work out. I have about 2 or 3 meetings every month where somebody says, you know what, I'm pretty sure it's going to work out. And my response is always the same. It might not. Can we be honest? It might not work out. It might not go okay. Things are not just magically going to fix themselves because you have the power of choice. This group of people could have chosen to not follow God. And at times throughout their history, they did make that choice. And it went poorly. And at other times, they chose to do things God's way, and it went well. And there's an important lesson there. We have the power of choice every day of our lives. You can choose rightly. You can choose wrongly. Whichever way you choose, there will be living, real-life consequences for you and those around you from this point on, like ripples in a pond, which means choose now. That's why Joshua didn't say to the people, you know what? I know you've got 3 options. Why don't you mull it over for 6 months and get back to me? Because in 6 months of making wrong choices, how much harm can you cause? In 6 months of making wrong choices, how much damage can you do to yourself and those around you that you love? Choose now. That's the first thing. The first thing is the power of present choices, not future choices. I'm not interested in choices you can make later. I'm interested in the choices you can make today. And of course, we know the enemies of those kind of choices. They're procrastination. They're also fear and shame. I've messed this up so many times. I can't possibly get it right. There's no way. I'm useless. I'm going to fail. Anybody ever had those kinds of thoughts when it came to a moment of decision? Ironically, the way to get those thoughts out of your head is to make the decision in a concrete way. And this is important. When I talk about making a decision, I don't mean think about making the decision. I mean do something that makes the decision for you. So call a friend who's going to keep you accountable, or throw something away that needs to get out of your life, or break your phone on the closest rock if there's somebody you need to never talk to again. I don't care. Do something right away. When you're going to make a choice, make a strong choice and a concrete choice. Don't just think about, yes, now I've made that choice. That's thinking about making a choice. You know, that's different. I don't want you to think about making a choice. I want you to make a choice. Figure out a way that it can get out of your brain into the real world, a real choice. If that choice is, I'm going to show up and have coffee with a friend, that's great. Whatever it is, if it's, I'm going to read the Bible, then you take the Bible. And when I was first learning to read my Bible, I was forgetting all the time. And so I'm not good at changing my routine, I'll be honest. So I put my Bible on the floor right next to my bed for the very spiritual reason that I would trip on it. And that would remind me. And you know what's funny? That didn't work. So then I put it in front of the door. I just was stepping over it. So then I put it in front of the door. Door's closed. Put it in front of the door. I can't open the door until I pick up my Bible. I was choosing to read my Bible. Fine, I'll read my Bible. All right, you know, you figure out a way to get the choice out of your head and into the real world now. So the power of the present choice, choose now. The power of intentional choices. Choose a path. Choose a path. You know, the enemy of choices sometimes is that we have too many options. Anybody ever get frozen by the number of options? I went into the auto body store this morning to get windshield wipers. Windshield wipers. There was not just different sizes, that makes sense to me. But then there were 11 different types of windshield wiper for the size that I needed, all of which did approximately the same thing. And so you know what I did? I stood there, because I am not great with cars, I don't know a lot of stuff. I stood there, I asked the person next to me, I'm like, what's the difference? Those are expensive and those are cheap. That is the answer I got. I said, okay, I'm going to move over this way a little bit. But, you know, it took me, I didn't have a long time, but I was caught by how many choices I had. And, you know, the only way to get rid of some of those options, pick one. Just pick one. Sometimes in our lives, we want to fix everything at once, right? Like, am I the only person who could quickly list 65 ways I need to grow up? Like, I could come up with a list that would cover, like, an entire journal of things that need to change in my life. And if you try to change all of them, how many do you change? Zero. So you got to pick one. Just one. You have to make, part of making a choice in your life is acknowledging that you can only do one thing at a time. You can only fix one thing at a time. You can only really focus on one thing at a time, or you're going to spread your energy out so much that you won't actually succeed in any area of your life. It's exactly what Joshua was trying to push here. He was trying to push this honest choice that I mentioned. Let's be real here, guys. You could pick this, you could pick this, or you could pick this, but make that one choice right now. Who are you going to serve? He didn't say, oh, and by the way, while you're choosing who you're going to serve, could you also choose which part of the land you're going to live in? And while you're figuring out that, could you try to figure out this thing in your family situation? And while you're figuring out that, he just, one thing, guys, just one thing. Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow somebody else? Pick right now. Not only was it a present choice, but it was a choice that was intentional. Intentional choice, which meant getting rid of some other things. Some other things that were just secondary. You know, and we see this again in, if you flip over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, other end of the Bible. Second Peter chapter 1. Several years ago, I did an entire teaching series on 2 Peter just for a couple of verses because I wanted to land on these verses for so long. And here's those verses. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, in view of all of this, by the way, if you have not read 2 Peter, go back and read the all of this that he's talking about because it's incredibly exciting and inspiring. If you ever have thoughts that you are not good enough, you need to go back and read these first couple of verses of 2 Peter, but that's not what we're talking about tonight, so we're going to skip that. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. How? Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. I love that list because it puts some things in order. You've got faith. If you're even reading the Bible, you have faith. Enough faith to open the Bible and say, this is going to change my life. Enough faith to say, I know that this is important. It may not feel like a lot of faith. Sometimes you may feel like you lack faith. But if you read the verse, you at least have enough faith to open the Bible and say, I think this matters. And so he says, now you've got to add to that. You have control from this point on. Add to your faith a generous provision of moral excellence. And whenever I'm walking somebody through this passage, I just say, let's just stop there. That's the one you're working on. Don't worry about the rest of the list yet. Just work on moral excellence. And when you've taken it up a notch there, then we can move on to the next one. The next one is knowledge. First of all, I love the fact that knowledge isn't first. If you are ever thinking to yourself, boy, the spiritual journey is pretty complicated and I don't feel like I know everything I'm supposed to know, that's okay. Knowledge was not step one. You're just still on step one or step two. That's fine. You're working on faith. You're working on moral excellence. That's great. But then after those two, then there does come a moment where you realize, man, I don't know enough. I need to get to know what the Bible is teaching better. And so then you start adding to that. And I've had a number of folks recently get to that point in their journey, and we've been working through some curriculum together. I love that stage. That's exciting. And then once you move on to that, self-control. And I don't think we ever need to read the rest of the list because nobody's mastered that one yet. But you know what I mean? The idea here is it's giving you a series of things to work on, not saying, boy, make sure, notice it doesn't say, hey, master all of these. It says, start with this, then add this one thing, then add this other one thing. The idea is one thing at a time. One thing at a time. because that's how we grow. And so this week, one of the things you're going to do in your small groups is we're going to talk about one area of your spiritual journey that you want to grow in. And then you're going to make one specific decision about a step you can grow in that area this week. And then next week, you're going to report back on how you did. And we're just going to start doing that every week. We're going to say, here's my goal for this week. Here's what my goal for last week was. Here's how I did on it. Here's either why it succeeded or why it failed. And here's what step I'm going to take this week. Just going to try to really practically build our skills and habits and abilities as followers of Jesus. And a whole lot of that comes down to this idea of making intentional choices. The other thing about intentional choices here, of course, is that not only are you choosing amongst alternatives, but you are acknowledging your choosing. You are in the driver's seat here. So one person may want to work on, when we break up into small groups, and we're, you know, your small group leader is going to say, what is one area of your spiritual life you want to work on? One person's going to say, you know what? I feel like I need to pray more. Another person's going to say, you know what? I don't read my Bible enough. Another person's going to say, you know what? Pastor Joshua was talking about that Daniel fast thing. I just want to get on that. And that's the one thing I'm going to focus on right now. Another person's going to say, you know what? I need to really connect with people from the church more than I connect because I feel really lonely. I feel really isolated. People are going to say all sorts of different things. And every one of those is a perfectly reasonable answer. And we are not looking for your answer to be the same as your answer, to be the same as your answer. It's fine. You have the power to choose, and you get to choose, and whatever you choose, that's fine. When you're growing, you choose that one thing, but you choose it. Why? Because then you can have the motivation to actually drive that forward, whatever that particular area is in your life. So we're choosing now, and we're being intentional in our choices. We're choosing a path. And then finally, and this is really important in choices, I want to talk about the power, and this is where I want to end tonight, the power of patient choices. The power of patient choices. Here's what I mean. Very often, we decide where we want to get to, and then we try to get there in one giant running leap. In college, I did this. I read a book that said that if you want to be in ministry, you need to spend 2 hours every single day in prayer. Before that, I was averaging like 12 minutes every day in prayer. I said, okay, I can go from 12 minutes to 2 hours, no problem. So I did for one whole day. You cannot go from 12 minutes to 2 hours. Doesn't work that way. But sometimes people want to do that. They just want to say, that's where I want to end up. So I'm going to be there now. And I want to make sure we make a distinction between that's where I want to end up versus that's where I have to be right now. Do you hear the difference? Because when you say that's where I want to end up, the next question you need to ask is, so what's one step I can take to get there now? That's different from trying to be there now. When I was in college, I should not have said, all right, I'm going to be like 2 hours in prayer every single day right now. I should have said, all right, let's go from 12 minutes to 15 minutes. All right, let's go from 15 minutes to 20 minutes. If you've never prayed before, you start with like 5 minutes. That's reasonable. Or whatever. I don't care. I'm not trying to tell you what your thing should be. But what is a reasonable step? Don't just select the goal and then try to make it all in one giant jump. People talk to me about this all the time. In every area, one of the things somebody may say is, you know what? I know God expects me to give 10% of my income to him. Currently, I am giving 0.0007% of my income to him. And now some folks may say, all right, you know what? I'm there. That's fine. But a lot of times what I tell people when they're working on this is called tithing. When we work on tithing, one of the things that I talk with people about is, all right, let's go with 1%. Let's start with 1%. And then maybe next month it's 2%. And then the next month it's 3%. And the next month it's 4%. Because I am not interested in how much life change you have in your life between today and tomorrow. That's not what I care about. What I care about is how much permanent life change you have for the next 50 years. And if we have to do a slow path to get there in order for it to be permanent change, that seems like a reasonably good deal to me. I successfully prayed for 2 hours when I tried to pray for 2 hours every day. Actually, the next day, I think I prayed for like 8 minutes. But, so 2 hours and 8 minutes. If I had prayed consistently for 20 minutes a day over the course of the next 3 months, 4 months, if it had gone up to 30 minutes, 5 months, 6 months, 10 months, how many minutes is that? That is a whole lot more than 2 hours and 8 minutes, isn't it? Consistency always has greater impact than sort of these like jumps that we try to make. Consistency always does because it has time on its side. And so I want to encourage you, when you are making choices, don't just choose now and don't just be intentional with your choices, but choose one step. One step, not 57 steps. Many of you know that I love to run. When I started running, I did not start running 10 miles. I started running like 5 steps. Then I got like up to 2 miles, and I ran 2 to 3 miles every day for years till I decided I was going to go for 5 miles, and then 8 miles, and then 10 miles, and then 13 miles, and then my knee hurt, and so I stopped. But that's the way it works. You just take concrete steps, one small improvement, one manageable change in the right direction. We're going to talk a whole lot more about this over the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk over the next couple of weeks about how to set that target in your mind and then how to determine what is a concrete, manageable step. You are going to hear me say that phrase so many times, concrete, manageable step. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in 2 weeks, and then we're going to talk about how to put it all together with your small group, because I'll tell you right now, God does not want you to change your life in isolation. You will fail. You need your small group. And so we're going to talk all about what that means and how to like make accountability like this life-giving thing instead of this really scary, stressful thing. It's going to be great. So that's kind of the direction that we're going. And then after we finish this 4-week series, we're going to just jump into a specific area that we can start growing in. And we'll talk about that for about 4 or 5 weeks. And then we'll jump into another area for 4 or 5 weeks. So we're just really going to focus this year. Focus on specific areas. We're going to focus on specific ways we can grow. We're going to focus for a chunk of time. I felt like over the last couple of years, every week it was something different, right? As we're going through the Bible, every week it's something different. And so you may not have gotten last week's change under your belt, and now we're on to a completely different topic, because the Bible kind of works that way sometimes, because it's addressing somebody else's list of questions, not ours, and we're just sort of applying it to our lives. And so this year, we're going to do it a little different, and we're just going to be real practical and focused. So I'm really excited. We're going to have a great journey this year. We are not going to leave this year the way we go into it. It's going to be amazing. And I'm so excited to see what it is that God does in your life this year as we wrestle forward with this idea of making choices towards growth. So that's where we're going, but it all begins with making sure we're keeping it practical. So we're going to break up into some discussion groups this week. As we always do. If you've never been with us on a Wednesday night, we always do this. We really do want to keep it personal and keep it practical. And so we have 3 basic rules in our small groups. Here they are. In short, they are, 1, keep it short. If there are 8 people in your group, everybody should get the same amount of time to share. You've only got about 20, 25 minutes to share. So that means if you take 15 of it, you have robbed everybody else. So keep it short. 2, keep it personal. We do not have enough time for you to tell stories about your great-aunt Sally's cat, or your great-aunt Sally, or your sister, during the sharing time. During the prayer time, if you want prayer for your great-aunt Sally or your sister or whatever, that's great. But when we're talking about how to grow during our discussion time, keep it about you, because that's what matters. This is your moment to figure out what it is you need to say in order to grow. 3, keep it relevant. Whatever the question is, always be asking yourself, am I actually answering the question? Because have you ever noticed sometimes people can wander off the question a little bit and answer a different but wonderful question? And I love those moments. And in all of our groups, there's always a leader. And just as a reminder, if your leader ever raises their hand or holds up a finger or just interrupts you to say, hey, hold on just a moment, they are not diminishing anything that you have to share or say. They are never trying to say it's not significant or important or valuable. They are simply saying, hey, we're getting a little bit off topic, or we need to make sure there's a little bit more time for everybody else. So it is not an insult in any way. They are just trying to make sure everybody gets an equal opportunity to share about the topic at hand. Because that's what gives us a chance to have group discussion that becomes life-changing, which is really what we're all about here on Wednesday nights.